Asile FR. Asile FR, magazine radiophonique, la voix des demandeurs d'asile.
هي مجلة إذاعية تعنى بقضايا اللجوء.
Asile FR.
It's a monthly radio magazine. It speaks with the voice of refugees.
Faites entendre votre voix.
اجعل صوتك مسموعا. Make your voice heard with Asile FR.
Bonjour et bienvenue sur cette nouvelle édition de Asile FR, le magazine radiophonique qui veut se faire écho de la voix des demandeurs d'asile et des réfugiés en France. C'est l'émission de début octobre 2013 et c'est la cinquième édition.
مستمعينا الأعزاء على 97 FM راديو كاليدوسكوب من مدينة غرنوبل في فرنسا أهلا ومرحبا بكم والعدد الخامس من المجلة الإذاعية مجلة طالبي اللجوء واللاجئين في فرنسا مجلة أزيل فيق أهلا ومرحبا بكم مجددا مستمعينا الأعزاء في كل مكان ونعتذر لغياب إصدار المجلة لطيلة الشهرين الماضيين وذلك كان بمناسبة الإجازات نتمنى أنكم أمضيتم أوقات ممتعة في الأماكن التي تحبونها معنا في هذا العدد صديقنا الذي تعرفونه جيدا النشط والناشط البريطاني توم والذي كان في زيارة في نهاية الأسبوع الماضي إلى مدينة كالي بشمال فرنسا مع الحدود الفرنسية البريطانية وقد أجرى توم عدة لقاءات وحوارات هناك بسبب التطور الذي طرأ الآن في كالي وما زال يطرأ لأوضاع طالبي اللجوء والمئات منهم الذين يعانون مشاكل الجمع هناك Hello Tom, is you?
Good evening.
Hi. Good evening.
I just got back from Calais. It's not the first time I've been in Calais. I've been in Calais many times, but this time it was particularly difficult. The situation is being caused by the repression, the effort to break the spirit and the will of the people trying to leave France, to leave the European Union, and to gain access to some safe space to continue to live in. So I thought I'd just give you a short description of why the situation in Calais is like it is. Maybe most people who are listening to this probably have some idea about what the situation is in Calais, so I won't go into
great. Yeah, of course, most of them know.
So
du coup, juste pour traduire ce qui vient d'être dit, donc dans cette émission, on va parler principalement de la situation à Calais. Donc Calais, c'est la ville à la frontière entre la France et la Grande-Bretagne. Donc c'est une ville où il y a donc beaucoup de personnes qui cherchent à passer en Grande-Bretagne. Et donc il y a Tom qui revient de Calais, qui y va régulièrement et du coup qui va nous expliquer un peu plus la situation dans cette ville et pourquoi cette situation est comme ça.
So, in this situation goes back about 20 years now, 18 years. Started in 1995. There were the beginning of people coming from Eastern Europe, and they found themselves in Calais. And at that time, they were welcomed really by the local population, it was considered quite normal for them to want to go to England. But of course, they were blocked at the border. And gradually, the situation, as the wars and conflicts of the world increased, and as particularly in places like Iraq, just before the fall of Saddam Hussein, or in the years running up to the fall of Saddam Hussein and the invasion of Iraq, 2003, there were lots and lots of Kurds arriving. And so the associations were quite anxious to try to find a solution for them. So they got together and with the help of a well-known figure in France called Abbé Pierre, they demanded that a solution was found. And the solution was a hangar called Sangat.
Du coup, un petit résumé rapide des 20 dernières années à Calais. Donc, ça a commencé un peu en 95, donc, quand il y avait pas mal de réfugiés d'Europe de l'Est qui sont arrivés dans cette ville en essayant de migrer vers le Royaume-Uni. À l'époque, ils étaient plutôt bien accueillis par la population locale. Et puis après, donc avec l'explosion des conflits dans le monde, et notamment la guerre en Irak et la chute de Saddam Hussein, donc il y a de plus en plus de monde qui sont arrivés, notamment des Kurdes d'Irak. Et du coup, la situation a commencé à devenir un peu plus compliquée. Et de nombreuses personnes sur place et des associations, notamment l'abbé Pierre, ont exigé de trouver des solutions à cette situation. Et la solution qui a été trouvée, ça a été ce qu'on a appelé le camp de Sangat.
So the situation that then developed was that Sangat became a place where people were blocked, but a place where people could find somewhere to stay. And so gradually we found that there were about 2,000 people, around 2,000 migrants, trying to cross but blocked, and so having to stay in a space which was supposed to be initially for 400 people. But it was a humanitarian situation, and it was regarded as a humanitarian situation, even if it was not necessarily defended as such by the politicians. But the Red Cross were put in charge of it, and at that time, we can say that somehow human rights were being respected.
Is it Red Cross International or Red Cross France?
Red Cross France.
D'accord.
Et du coup, pour parler un peu du camp de Sangat, donc c'est un endroit où il y a eu assez rapidement plein de gens. Donc c'était prévu pour 400 personnes, et il y a eu jusqu'à 2000 personnes qui étaient qui vivaient dans ce camp. Et du coup, c'était donc des personnes qui voulaient donc migrer vers l'Angleterre, mais qui en fait ne pouvaient pas et étaient bloquées sur place. Mais au moins, elles avaient un endroit pour rester. Et notamment, il y avait des associations, dont la Croix-Rouge française, qui assuraient un minimum d'aide humanitaire.
Okay. Then what began to happen, and I was living in the United Kingdom at the time, and I remember that there were lots and lots of media reports of migrants trying to flood into the Euro tunnel to gain access to England, and it was a kind of media panic, or kind of creating a kind of moral panic around this, and there was a lot of politicians suddenly jumped up and became very indignant about it, and said, we're going to solve the problem of Sangat, and we're going to put pressure on the French authorities to close the Sangat Centre. And of course, at that time, the Minister of the Interior in France was Nicolas Sarkozy, who was ready to do the bidding of the British, and that's what happened.
إذن مستمعينا الأعزاء تم بيحكي تفاصيل كثيرة عن سوء الأوضاع التي يعيشها طالبي اللجوء والمهاجرين في مدينة كالي في شمال فرنسا، واللي بيحاولوا بصورة جاهدة وصورة خطيرة المغامرة للاستمرار والعبور إلى بريطانيا سعيا منهم للاستقرار. ما في حد طبعا بيعرف ليه مدام فرنسا ما بتديهم حقوقهم عشان يعيشوا حياة كريمة بتمنعهم العبور إلى بلدان أخرى. So looks to them like we are going to listen to some people who you found there in Calais this last weekend.
Okay, so the current situation in Calais is that, and this isn't the first time it's happened. Every September, it seems there is a kind of a very very difficult situation that develops in Calais, and I decided to speak with some of the activists who are present on the ground in Calais, and this is one of them, Jeremy. So.
Et du coup, juste pour dire que donc après la fermeture du camp de Sangat qui a été exigée par les autorités anglaises et mise en place donc par le ministre de l'Intérieur français de l'époque, Nicolas Sarkozy, la situation s'est empirée et que là, tous les ans, au mois de septembre, c'est encore pire à Calais. Et du coup, Tom, il a rencontré certaines des personnes qui habitent sur place et qui vont livrer quelques témoignages.
Thank you. À peu près depuis la fermeture du squat Mouron, qui est depuis 3 semaines, je crois. Enfin, il est complètement impossible d'ouvrir des squats. Il est complètement impossible d'aider les gens convenablement pour se coucher, parce qu'on arrive dans une période électorale où ça sera très difficile sur Calais d'ouvrir des squats avec une maire UMP qui vise l'extrême droite pour se faire élire.
Et le squat Moron, c'était le beer house.
Oui, oui.
Et c'était quoi les conditions là?
Bon, c'est un squat qui était déjà ouvert il y a 11 mois, où nos bordeurs avaient ouvert deux maisons dans la rue, qui n'étaient pas la beer house en fait, où la police elle-même a introduit les musulmans dans la bière, enfin dans ce squat. Enfin, moi, mon avis est qu'on a mis ces gens-là dans un tas de bière où on savait qu'il y a des gens qui vont boire de la bière pour qu'ils fassent des bêtises en centre-ville, pour qu'après la presse écrite locale dénigre ces migrants tout bonnement.
Et tu crois que le beer house, c'était comment les conditions?
On n'avait pas d'accès à l'eau potable, il n'y avait qu'une partie des Syriens qui avaient l'électricité. Les mecs récupéraient l'eau de pluie et la bouillaient. Non, les conditions étaient assez horribles, mais on en est sur la même thématique sur certains squats où je pense que la municipalité laisse ouvrir ses squats parce que le bâtiment leur intéresse. On met des migrants dedans pour que ça rend insalubre. On exproprie le propriétaire, on rachète le terrain à 1 euro et après on construit derrière. De toute façon, les migrants aident à l'urbanisation de la ville de Calais depuis des lustres. Moi, je pense réellement que sur des gros squats, pas des maisons individuelles, parce que là, si on arrive à avoir à une procédure légale, on ira au jugement. Mais sur tous les gros squats, il n'y a pas eu de procédure comme ça. Je pense que la mairie nous a laissé dedans parce que le terrain lui intéressait. C'est très vicieux et pervers à la fois, mais c'est de servir des migrants pour se servir d'une urbanisation pour se faire élire aux prochaines municipales qui sont dans 5 mois. La maire est de droite, elle veut se faire élire. L'UMP n'est plus crédible comme le PS. Elle va aller choper des voix du Front National, parce que le Front National a un discours social mais raciste. Donc elle va taper du sucre, elle va taper sur les migrants pendant 5 mois. Ça, moi, je vois mal la situation évoluer après les municipales. Je pense que ça va être très dur pour les gars qui viennent sur Calais, pour nous qui viennent en aide. Quoi.
Donc on attend un hiver assez dur.
Oui, très dur. Oui.
Ils sont où après les expulsions?
Ils dorment juste en face de Salam avec des tentes offertes par Médecins du Monde. Ils dorment sous des ponts, ils dorment dans les parcs. Ils se sont fabriqués quelques cabanes parce qu'il y a encore des jungles. Il reste juste... un squat qui tient, mais il sera sûrement expulsé cette semaine ou la semaine prochaine. Il y a une condition inhumaine. Moi, ce que je trouve marrant dans les propos politiciens, c'est de dire que je préfère les voir dehors. C'est les paroles de la maire, je préfère les voir dehors que de les voir dans un endroit insalubre. Je demande juste à Madame Bouchard d'aller vivre 2 semaines comme un migrant dehors, aller bouffer à Salam, d'aller se brosser les dents parce qu'il y a une fontaine au parc. Je défie Madame Bouchard de faire ça pendant une semaine. Voilà, je pense qu'elle comprendra.
Par exemple, hier soir, il avait un événement dans son centre-ville et c'était une soirée festive, mais c'était aussi pour essayer de montrer aux Calaisiens ce qui se passe.
Moi, je trouve que depuis... malheureusement, c'est suite à une expulsion de squat, mais je trouve qu'il y a certaines associations qui tolèrent un peu plus le mouvement No Border, qui le respectent un peu plus. Et je trouve ça très bien. Je trouve ça très bien. Malheureusement, il faut toujours attendre quelque chose de négatif pour que les gens se collent. Je pense aussi les municipales, il y a certaines associations qui vont être à l'envers du parti politique qui dirige. Je pense qu'on pourra un peu mieux travailler avec les associations, même si ça sera très dur pour les mecs, quoi. Après, la soirée d'hier, ce que je retiendrai, c'est un mouvement collectif que j'avais pas vu de, que j'avais, moi qui est calaisien, que j'avais pas vu depuis longtemps. Et j'espère que ça continuera.
So we have seen in that interview he makes reference to a few things. Probably you heard him talk about the associations and No Borders and what No Borders have been doing in Calais and how difficult it's been to work with the associations previously. But it's looking more interesting now. For the first time we had a after we organized the No Border Camp in 2009, a very negative press, mainly because of the No Border Camp, but because of the media treatment of the No Border Camp, we were kind of demonized in the eyes of most of the local population, as well as the north of France, if not the whole country. This meant that working in the local area was quite difficult. People didn't immediately trust us and thought that we were there to sort of burn the town down, which was more or less what the press were saying that we were there for. But we've been quite happy to see that, especially when I was there this weekend, there was a festival. In fait, it wasn't a festival, it was a nuit de veille with the migrants, and it involved all the different associations of Calais and the local area, because there are lots of associations in the local area that work with the migrants who've been displaced and kicked out of Calais. In the area surrounding Calais, there are at least 15 camps, really, because as we know, this kind of repression, wherever it happens, it only just moves people to a different part of the countryside or somewhere out, and makes its only effect is to make people less visible. It doesn't change anything.
Are these associations, town police on Calais, are able to get close to these people and touch their problems and try to support and help them while the police are running every time to catch them, to arrest them, and to fire them? How could these associations give them their support? How could them keep supporting them during that?
Well, I think the associations have really seen that we've been quite effective in the way that we work in Calais. The Calais Migrant Solidarity, which is the No Borders activists in Calais, they have realized that filming police interventions, especially early in the morning, has quite a strong effect and reduces the level of repression and violence that migrants are subjected to. And that they are, for example, when we first arrived, migrants were much more likely to be gassed in the morning. So this was a kind of standard procedure. They'd be hit. And we've seen that gradually the fact that police were videoed, they didn't like being videoed, but it's a perfectly legal thing to be able to do. Mm. There was one activist particularly who did this work, and she was there all the time filming, and she was kind of an inspiration for a lot of people, and a lot of people saw that this was effective. And so from that point onwards, people began to document the violence that was happening and people were being subjected to by the police. Mm. And this created quite a big attention even in the media. And there's a guy in the French government called the Défenseur des Droits, and we compiled a dossier to present before this man. His name's Dominique Bordis, and this had some kind of effect, and where we think it's this has meant that the associations have begun to appreciate that we're not just there, you know, without really any kind of plan, that they appreciate us more, I think.
Du coup, la question c'était de savoir un peu comment les associations sur place et notamment le réseau No Border dont on a parlé dans l'interview d'avant. Arriver à être efficace sur place et à aider les migrants. Et du coup, il y avait ce truc de dire que notamment, un truc qui a été très efficace, ça a été de filmer et de documenter les violences policières, et notamment dans les expulsions au matin de squats ou de lieux de vie, en fait, à force de filmer et de documenter ces expulsions et de les mettre en ligne et de les communiquer, et notamment aussi de les communiquer aux défenseurs des droits Dominique Dubaudis, eh ben, ça a eu quand même un effet de maintenant, c'est moins trash. Par exemple, avant, il y avait systématiquement un gazage des personnes qui étaient à l'intérieur. Maintenant, ça se passe moins. Et du coup, et aussi, du coup, un travail sur le long terme où les gens n'ont jamais arrêté de faire ce travail-là. Et du coup, ça fait que, ben, mine de rien, la situation est quand même un peu moins pire qu'avant. Et qu'aussi, du coup, le réseau No Border a gagné un peu en crédibilité, si on peut dire, par rapport à ça.
إذا مستمعينا الأعزاء ما جرى في الحوار الذي أجراه توم مع الناشط الذي اسمه جيرمي والذي تحدث عن عملية الطرد التي تمت قبل 3 أسابيع في كالي لمجموعة تقدر ب200 شخص من المهاجرين وطالبي اللجوء من جنسيات مختلفة أغلبهم يمكن من أفغانستان ومن السودان ومن الصومال ومن سوريا تم طردهم من غير حلول لمشكلة السكن وتم تركهم في العراء وتم تركهم مشردين في طرقات المدينة منهم من تم اعتقاله بواسطة البوليس وعموما جرت معهم إجراءات كثيرة مختلفة كل حسب حظه أو كل حسب ما صادفه من مسؤولين هناك سألناه أيضا عن المنظمات كيف هي تستطيع أن تساعد هؤلاء في ظل المطاردة المستمرة بين البوليس وبينهم عموما لكل مستمعينا في اللغة العربية نرجو مراجعة موقع المجلة على الفيسبوك أزيل فق للحصول على تفاصيل ربما يسمح هناك أكثر الوقت بترجمتها نسبة لضيق زمن المجلة We are back to you Tom
okay.
What else in Calais?
So yeah the violence that people has been filmed this for in general we've seen it begin to diminish and we were really you know the controller facies which is when people are just controlled for no reason whatsoever also seem to diminish and in the center of town we can say that perhaps the tourists are less likely to see the kind of policemen chasing migrants down the street But at the same time, we can see that outside the visibility of the population, that the violence continues. And when I was there this weekend, I met, in fact, some Afghan refugees who had found a place in what's called the jungle, which is basically along the beach, in the bushes. They've found places to hide a long, long way out with no support, no food, no water, and very basic conditions in tents. And every morning, very often in the morning, sometimes three or four times a week, the police come. The work of No Borders activists, when there are enough of them, is to try to alert people when the police come, and this is something that we do, but it's not always possible. And when the police do come, they sometimes treat people very badly, and we see this from this. They slash people's tents, they destroy people's tents, and they jump up and down on the tents when people are in them and this kind of thing.
Du coup, on disait un peu avant que la violence policière avait tendance à diminuer dans le centre-ville et dans les endroits où c'est visible par tout un chacun et par les touristes de Calais, mais qu'en dehors de ces zones-là, eh ben, la violence, elle n'a pas du tout diminué. Du coup, là, on va écouter une interview d'une personne d'Afghanistan qui vit dans ce qu'on appelle la jungle, donc c'est un endroit où des migrants habitent, notamment dans des tentes, dans la forêt, et voilà, qui nous explique un peu comment ça se passe et la violence policière.
Ok, and... He also explains a little bit about his own situation and more generally his voyage that has led him to Calais. So.
My name is Hidayat Siddiqui.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm from Afghanistan, from Logar. A province name is Logar, beside of the Kabul. Yeah. I'm 25 years old. I'm single. So I had problem in Afghanistan. That's why I left Afghanistan to come to Europe. First I came to Pakistan, from Pakistan to Iran, Iran to Greece. Then I was in Greece around 4 years. So I had lots of problem in Greece also. When I came to Belgium. I was about 2.5 years in Belgium as an asylum seeker. So I got negative. That's why I left Belgium to go to England. Because in the court of the Belgium, they decided that I have to left all the Europe. That's why I decided to go to England. Because I know the England is not the parts of Europe. Mm-hmm. Yeah, as I know, I don't know. It's parts of Europe, but I don't know the exact thing. Yeah.
Did you have a right of appeal in Belgium when they refused you? Did you go through different stages?
No, when I got the negative from court, so I have the right to do appeal once again. But I afraid of the deport because one of my friend, he had the problem. He got the negative, and the Belgium government deported him to Afghanistan. That's why I afraid, and I left Belgium to go to England.
Sure.
So I tried in England to do asyl, but I am not sure because the rules of the England is too difficult for the refugees. I know, but I try to do something in there, or work, to support my family. Yeah, that's why.
So you're afraid that because you, if you go to England, they will see that you claimed asylum in Belgium?
So I have the fingerprint in the, Belgium. If the police of the England catch me, they 100% they will deport me once again to Belgium. The Belgium will decide that they will deport me to the Afghanistan. The thing that I am afraid of them, it's a deport of Afghanistan. That's why I'm trying to be a secret place.
What is the situation at the moment in Afghanistan, in the province?
So here's the now we are in France. You can ask the army of the France, they know better, because I was before 7 years before in Afghanistan, but the French forces come early in this year. They know the situation of the Afghanistan, how is the situation, because they fled up, they run from Afghanistan, because there's a lot of politician or problem or fight, that's why they left Afghanistan and come back to France. They can handle the problem of the in Afghanistan. They can't handle to bring peace. How I can? I have nothing. They have everything. They have the plan. They have the aeroplanes, jets. Everything, every weapons they have. I haven't, I'm a single man. So they, I'm not agree with the rules of the Europe. That's my point.
Okay.
I'm not.
What is it? Because I'm surprised that the authorities think that Afghanistan is safe in some way.
Look, let me tell you something else. What was my problem to left Afghanistan to come here? Because I help the foreign forces in Afghanistan. My brother was the interpreter with the Italian forces. in Kabul, in Surbi. The Taliban beheaded him. Then I worked like a spy for the force of the European. I give the news, those people, those Taliban, that they had they did the beheaded my brother. I mean, sorry for the. So then I told them that this person kidnapped my brother, and you can arrest them. So they come, they arrest these people. After 2.5 years, the American forces left them again. So I afraid, because when the man who doing the job like a spy, they beheaded this person. They hated more than foreign forces, this person. When I told in Belgium that I have this problem with the Taliban, with the politician of the against of the Afghanistan government, they accept my problem, but they said no. You have a mistake in your date. You bring some certificate that you told in your speech some date, and there's some date else. I told them after 7 years I'm telling something. It's 18 days. It's not an important thing. You have to give attention to my problem, not to the date. But they didn't accept that. So that was my journey from Afghanistan to Europe. But I'm still in like a refugee to cross the border to England. So I hope the government of the England do something for the refugee. Because they put it, the refugee, the people of Afghanistan, the Europe and the Britain government aside. They don't care about the problem of the Afghan people. We have about 14 years war. It's all belong to politician. Politician of the Europe, politician of the Russia, politician of the Mujahideen or Taliban, like this.
The problem is if they find you in England, they send you back to Belgium.
If the Britain police catch me,
yeah,
of course they will deport me to the Belgium, and Belgium will deport me to Afghanistan.
Yeah,
the situation, the behaving of the France police is like we are a criminal. They behaving like this. They coming every morning, not every morning, in a week 3 times, 4 times they come and search for the people. Why? We are sleeping. Everyone know that we are doing game during the night, and during the day we are sleeping, because it's our way to cross the border. All the world know, but they come here and they arrest the people, they put it in the detention center. They ask him several times same question. They behaving like the police behave like with a criminal, but we are not criminal. We are just here to cross the border.
What do you think that people can do to try to stop the situation that people are being deported to Afghanistan? Do you think that European people should? Do you think that people know that this is the situation?
Look, when I got the negative in Belgium, we have in Belgium the Belgium have two kinds of the passport, like. One is a 5 years passport, and one is for 1 year. It calls subsidiary protection. A province have a lot of war, then they gave him a person from that province for 1 year. So I don't think so that they will do something, because it's all belong to government. They are coming back from Afghanistan in 2014. they don't want to do, or and also they can't do something. Even in Afghanistan, even here.
So you're saying that in Belgium, people sometimes get exceptional leave, exceptional circumstances. What's the subsidiary protection?
It means subsidiary protection means that a place have a.
It's a temporary protection.
Yeah, it's a temporary protection.
So they think in 2014 it will be safe, so they will stop the temporary protection.
Yeah, of course they will stop. But they will never take again from those people that they have been given for the temporary time they had given for those people. They will never take once again from them back. So they will stop after 2014. But we will have 100% the same problem.
Yeah.
Because we had in Afghanistan 52 countries forces. They can't handle the situation of Afghanistan. How the army of Afghanistan without any hard weapons to handle all the Afghanistan. Everyone knows. But they come for their own mission, our goal. And they complete that goal, that mission, and they are coming back.
So the situation facing Afghans, just to be clear, at the end of that, he was saying that, you know, in 2014, when the Belgian and American troops leave, then this subsidiary protection will finish and that people will be sent back, but he's saying that, you know, they won't be sent back because they won't go back, you know, they just and so anyway, the he was facing the same situation as the next person who I interviewed, who has really nowhere to go, having been rejected in Belgium. The first man is in danger of, if he stays in Belgium, of being sent back to Afghanistan directly. And in the second case, and he knew that if he goes to England, then he will also be in danger of being sent back to Belgium, and they will then send him back to Afghanistan. Even though it's clear that journalists, especially journalists who work with the Allied forces or the American forces or the European forces, are in fact given very high levels of protection, usually, because everyone knows that this for the Taliban is makes you the worst enemy. So it really is incredible that that he's in this situation. But if we look for the next guy, he's affected also by this Dublin rule where he'd claimed asylum somewhere else. So let's hear that. Let's hear what he has to say.
Okay, so we move to the next interview, Nico, before we can discuss back and say in French maybe what was running on with these Afghan people there.
Barakasha, we live with our.
تریش کیوں مو تریش ڈیپورٹ کیوں مطلب دی خاور رات یہ سوئے دیں غریب خاوری بیا ڈیپورٹ نہ مرتا شپک میں سگو جیل لگ چھ من پمن تیر سوئے والی غیر کام
امیزنگ when he crossed angry to Austria and in an interview he said that I crossed angry then I come to Austria the Austria government said it's the same thing for us if you have the fingerprint or you cross it, that country you have to go to back he haven't the fingerprint of the Hungary the Austria sent him back to Hungary because he crossed the Hungary to Austria
and what proof did they use to
he said his interview that I yeah because he didn't know that they had this kind of rule It's really amazing. It's after that, when they deported him to Hungary, then they put him in jail for 6 months. That's why you crossed the Hungary to go to Austria.
So, okay, so he wasn't able to claim asylum in Hungary.
He was able to do, but he don't like to do.
Okay, so that
would
that
meant he زور انٹرویو استلا چې انٹرویو نه ورکه وتا خپل ملک ریپورت کو یا دوا کال جیل درکو انٹرویو ورکه انٹرویو باندې ورکه هغه باندې منفی درکو لاسنات هم ورکه
بای فورس دی ټیک ان دی انٹرویو دی گورنمنت سیڈ یو هاف ٹو گیو دی انٹرویو اذروایز وی ول گیو یو 2 ایئرز جیل اور وی ول ڈیپورٹ یو بیک ٹو افغانستان when somebody gave the interview then they will get the negative
okay with no appeal
no appeal appeal by ko be mahkamata appeal by mukam mahkamata me appeal log dream as mahkamata protum agaman tirakra
he did appeal for court after 3 months once again he got negative from court
afghanistan ke us ala sayed ala sir talas
they said that situation of afghanistan is better you have to go to back to Afghanistan and he that was the reason that he came here to cross the border
da so situation more better tas rupa ke saf kade pa khuda ga zalam khalq sara kai che dartawai ma che dartawai je ba gunta ba bagram ke ga sara khalq sara ga ke ba khuda ka ga rakam jata hai la ka jaram de che kade ya sarai de wazalai
we hear the european The rule is behaving of the police, behaving of the government is really good. We hear in Afghanistan, but he said when I came to Hungary, they behave with me like a criminal that I killed someone or did something worse. They behave like that with me.
سر بجے چھ درد تا برتری سر میں خوگی گی خوب دی مازہ خوگی دل یو بجے جے درد نن بده ورکه ورته ولیکلا سبا مس سبا 12 سیولس بجه به درتلی راسه چا پسر دی درد راسه اوس ګولې درکو البته به بوتي و ګولې به درکا وایزه ده بیرته به اوتاک ته بوله داخل دالیس کې به کړی درتا چولې ډاکټر ته به کوزولې بیرته رجبه ولې د اخر په مغیو بلډینګ کې
ټانکیو وین هی هاد هډیک وان پرسن هاف د هډیک اور هی اور سمثینګ ایلس سمثینګ اذر ون سو هی سیډ دټ آی هاف د هډیک today or tomorrow in afternoon they call for that person who had the headache come I will give you the medicine when the police security bring us the security to the doctor they
handcuffed
him to the doctor and then they gave him one tablet it's for your headache the headache is gone in that time
Yeah, now it's the risk. And would you say that your situation? Did you meet other people in your situation when you were in jail in Hungary?
آقا لکه نور کسانو حالات تا تا پیاد یا تا تا معلوم تا سر پجیل کیو. جیل کیو دیر خوشی شو. سکر دیر آتش کم ماندی ولی ما سر و آن را تو نخوشی سیو چه باندی شپاگ می چه باندی وو می آسته نخوشی دیو که ما سر ویش کاتیش آوانانو درین آپارو تی ورکری میزی اینجا کلم پاسپورت نی ورکی نو تول تی مال بیو
وی سید دات وی ور 27 پیپل این دی سیم پلیس این دی سیم جیل دی 3 پرسن گات دی پاسپورت the other world got the negative. After 7 months, 6 months, like this. Yeah. Only 3% got the positive.
Out of how many people? Three people out of a lot of people?
All the people, the Afghan people was
four.
In which which parts that they were there in jail, the Afghan people were 27. In 27, in the one parts of the jail, not the other. So in these 27, three of them got positive, the rest all negative.
And they were released from prison then, or they were deported?
Biasanga Sudan or Kasani preko the jail now deported kudala.
The child that came to Mazat came to Takliman in the last part of Snapara, but I was seeing a new Wacht Patokan, Chadri Watelevi, Chad Dotelevi, Chad Salur Watelevi. او سوق مخکی راغلی و ما نه غلا خوش شو سوق ما سره یو جو غم را خوش شو او نور مال دفات او
زما خبر لا یاد او لا غا سوق بیا تاسو له کلوس سنتر نه راوسته یو پن
مونږ بیا آزاد کم تر راوسته بیا درې میاشتې هلته ما په منفی راغلا
when they was in he was in a clue center like a jail for 6 months after when he got negative most of the people they bring to the open center. After 3 months, when I got the negative from court, then they released me to go. And
they say you're free to go and
you're
free to leave Hungary. Yeah. You have a certain amount of time to leave. Let's say you have 30 days to leave Hungary.
Yeah, like this. Say that you leave. There's for the work that is Hungary free this tomorrow.
Nah, I'm not going. کله وچ تا محکمې منپی درکړه با لغتا د بیو کارت درکړه هغه کارت باندې وته چې وجه ګرځېلې پولیس په سنار ته ویل چې هغه کارت به د نو اخست محکمې منپی درکړه په سبا ودر په سیراغ له وجه ته بولې چې تاسو به هر شی اخستل بالکل هغه موږ منطقي نه کم نه بته لس کې 15 کیلومتر لري نه ستلای پولیس به ونیول بیرته به راځي مالته به اچول
ترکله
بس پروت وسېګه نو چې لاس کاله پروت وسېګه او شل کاله پروت وسېګه او کته وته چې پټ شي لاړې بل مونته لاړې لاړې
لایک when he got negative from court today early in morning the police catch those person who had the negative from court they bring these people to a place where it was it wasn't like a refugee camp and before that they have the cart that every parts of every province every city of the angry he was free to visit everyone, to go every place of the angry. When they, when he got the negative of the court, then the police take them that cart back and bring them to the refugee camp. And from this camp, you can't go more than 15 kilometers. Far away from this refugee camp. When the police catch you more than 50 kilometers far away, then they catch you and bring you back to the...
So it's like in Germany, like residence station in Germany.
When he got the negative from court, and the same time he left the...
که دوړې به وا خلا یو واګې به
او سلور بجې به
او سلور بجې به بس دغه سی خوګ مرچ او دوړ دوړې به وا تا به نه خوړل بس تیری و اوسه زه وهلې به زین نه وځي او ته لاس بجې نه بیسته ګوب باندو
دی هر د ټو ټایم
تشنا بم د نه نه فارو تا کې
فور ایټینګ ان مورنینګ ان ان افټرنون 4 o'clock ان مورنینګ کپ اف ټی وذ ا سمال پیس اف بریډ in the afternoon, one paprika, you know, the chili by the name paprika.
Yeah.
It's called paprika with a small piece of bread. Yeah, and this two times in a day.
بیا وکړه چا سره پیسې وي هغه به بسکټ راغوښته را وبه یې خوړل به یې چا سره به چې پیسې نه هغه پراته به بیچاره یا
دیس پرسن هو هاډ د منی اینډ دی آسک فور د بسکټ فرام اور سایډ
بغیر له بسکټ نو شي نه خوښه کوي
یا اونلی بسکټ اذر ثینګ واز ناټ الاوډ
کیک او دا شیان او دا شیان نه خوښه کوي خالي بسکټ
This was like a special detention center for immigrants, or was it?
Da kum jayo.
Da shpagmiyash nirbato ortaye.
Da
kar nirbato. Nirbato aga jail jay nirbato nime ya kam nirbato.
The detention center or refugee center called nirbato.
Nirbato jail.
Nirbato. It was like a jail, not detention center, I think. Kam. جیل ہوگا نا
جیل ہونا جیل سارا کام
نیم
سات بھائی خوشی کو بیرونی ہو جائے
لائک
نیم سات دو رکھے جائے بہت یو نیم سر کسان بھائی دی جائے کہ خوشی کا سرگٹ بھائی ہوا یا شل نیم سات یا تو ٹیم نکل ہے وہ آس کو روٹیاں بھائی پنجل اس ملٹا خوشی کا بولو پھر منہ کڑے گنو بلا سی جک سے دروازے بھائی باندھے گئے رب سے لا کرتا
ڈیٹینشن سینٹر دے ہیڈ اے سمال پلیس ٹو اسموک اے سگریٹ اور ٹو واک بٹ دے آل دی پرزنر ہیڈ 30 منٹس بٹ دی سیکورٹی آف دی ڈیٹینشن سینٹر دے کا دے کلوز دیٹ پلیس ان 15 منٹس ان 15 منٹس اف یو وانٹ ٹو
اسموک
اور اف یو وانٹ ٹو واک اٹ واز
15 منٹس ایچ ڈے
دی رول واز 30 منٹس بٹ دی سیکورٹی جسٹ فار 15 منٹس The security said, no, it's enough. Come back.
Chava, just sort of leave the city. Why, da, 10 minutes, I leave the city. Please, you're a good one. But I said, I'm going to go to the city. 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 I'm going to go to the city.
If somebody said, no, we have 30 minutes. We have right to walk or to smoke for 30 minutes here. Then the police catch or security catch that person and bring for the special room.
Solitary.
Yeah, in English it's called solitary, something like this. And they did football with that person. You have seen his leg. You bring him here, yeah?
Yeah.
Really?
It was. It's our situation in France. A most democrat, a most democrat people in France. But our situation is like this. They said we will bring democracy to Afghanistan. No, we don't want. You just give us here the democracy, the human right. Then you have right to bring to Afghanistan. You can't even give us here the democracy or human rights. How you can give for 27 million people in Afghanistan? We are about 50 people in here. You can't even give in here. It's really, everything is joke for me now. Believe me, when I come here to Europe, I understand everything. It's just joking. In Afghanistan, I thought, oh, yeah, really, the European, the NATO, the IS have come here to bring peace or to bring democracy.
So what's your experience with the French police then, since you've been here?
So if you want to, know that you come early in morning, you see, in Monday, 100% they will come here and see.
100 people?
No. You come in Monday, here in morning, then you will see the behaving of the police.
Because they come very often?
Yeah, it's 7 o'clock, 7:30, 8 o'clock, like this. 5 o'clock, I left my tent, I go there. Yeah, in a beach. It's not like this, because many of the policemen really respect the refugee, because when they catch in a ferry, inside the ferry, they behave very good, which we like, because these police know that they need to go, they need to cross the border, and why we behave worst. Some of them that they had the order, they come here, and one day when the police come here, they jump over the tent. Two policemen jumped in the tent, jumping on the tent. One person
Someone
was
in the tent.
Yeah, one person was in the tent. He was underage. He was sleeping. He don't know. So when he yelled, the police understand. Oh, somebody's inside. Come to detention center. These people have it to go to detention center and have a sign there, and they left again to come here. Yeah, she know better. She had the records of.
Voilà donc pour ces deux témoignages de personnes migrantes d'Afghanistan à Calais qui racontent un peu leur parcours et la répression qui va avec et aussi le rôle des autorités européennes là-dedans. Juste pour dire avant de terminer l'émission, donc si vous avez envie de soutenir ces personnes migrantes de Calais ou le réseau No Border, il y a plusieurs possibilités. Donc par exemple, il y a une collecte qui est organisée un peu partout en France et notamment à Grenoble pour récolter des tentes, des vêtements chauds, des chaussures à envoyer sur place. À Grenoble, vous pouvez vous adresser à la BAF, qui est un lieu, un centre social autogéré. Sinon, il y a un festival qui s'appelle Unisson qui va se tenir à Calais le 18 et 19 octobre prochain pour mettre un peu en lumière ce qui se passe là-bas et puis du coup soutenir les personnes qui souffrent de la répression. Et il y a donc le site Calais Migrants Solidarity qui donne toutes les infos sur ce qui se passe sur place. Et nous, on arrive à la fin de cette émission. Je voulais juste avant de terminer donner un peu des infos locales sur Grenoble, qu'est-ce qui se passe. Donc juste pour vous dire que le squat des demandeurs d'asile du village olympique dont on parle régulièrement dans cette émission est passé lundi dernier en procès à la cour d'appel et qu'on attend le rendu pour le 12 novembre. Du coup, voilà, on vous tiendra au courant. Et voilà, et du coup, je vous dis à bientôt. Je vous rappelle que si vous voulez suivre cette émission, c'est possible de se connecter sur la page Facebook Asile FR et sur l'audioblog sur arte.fr de Asile FR. Salut.
Salut.